Welcome to our podcast, Step into the Future, which is about fashion, sustainability and social change. My name is Katharina and I work for Melaware in the communication and sustainability area. And today I'm very happy to start a new Melaware series in our podcast, in which we will introduce everyone from our team and give you some insights into our team members' jobs, and so you will get to know what we are doing every day. And today I'm very happy to talk with my colleague Larissa about her work experiences she also gained in India, and then to her way to Melaware and what she is currently doing for us in our development project in Sri Lanka, which she will also introduce to us. Hey Lara, or hey Larissa, maybe you can give us a short introduction to you. What is your background? What have you done before you came to Melaware?
Yeah. Hi Kata, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to talk a little bit about myself and of course my work at Mila. So yeah, before I dive into my work, a little bit about myself. I was born in Munich, I grew up in the UK, and then I studied psychology in my bachelor in the UK, and then for my master's, I studied international relations in four different countries, including one semester in Pune in India.
It's quite a lot.
Yeah.
Four countries.
Yes. So as you can see, getting around this beautiful globe that we live on is something that I like to do. Uh-huh. And before I joined Mila, I was living and working in Mumbai in India. I originally went there for 6 months to volunteer for an NGO. And then I took up a position at the Indo-German Chamber of Commerce, and I ended up staying for 5 years.
That's quite a long time.
Yeah, you never know where life is going to take you. So every company in Germany has to become a member of the German Chamber Network, and the Auslandshandelskammern, the German Chambers abroad, represent the German economy in 92 countries across the world. And I was there at the Auslandshandelskammer in Mumbai in India. And one of my main roles in the chamber was to support the representation of an organization called Amfori. And Amfori is a European business association. It's headquartered in Brussels. And it provides companies with social and environmental services to improve the sustainability of their global supply chains. So, to put it a bit more simply, you can kind of compare Amfori with Fairtrade, which most of our listeners will probably be more familiar with. So Amfori also has a code of conduct, both a social and an environmental code of conduct, a bit like standards, and these have to be implemented in the supply chains of their member companies. So even though Amfori is not a household name like Fair Traders, for example, many of the world's leading brands and retailers like Aldi, Mango, or even Amazon, for example, they are members of Amfori and they use their services. And my work at Amfori in India involved organizing trainings in factories and farms across the country, and also just raising awareness about the topic of sustainable supply chains in India in general.
That sounds super interesting.
Yeah, it was.
And you also had a special focus on the textile industry. Right.
Well, the textile sector is, for Amfori within India, was the largest and most important sector. So, yes, we did we did focus on textiles, but Amfori's standard, the most, which is quite well known within the industry, it's called BSCI. That is actually applicable for all fast-moving consumer goods.
Okay, cool. But so you worked in quite an international work working background in Mumbai. But how did you then find your way to Milaware?
Yeah, actually, Mila and I go back quite a long way, you could say. So even though
it's almost a relationship.
Yeah. Even though I only joined officially about 6 months ago, I know Henning because he's actually a friend of mine. And when Henning first came to visit me and my partner in India in 2012, that's when you could say the seeds for Milaware were first planted. And then I always really closely followed the development of Milaware from the Indian side, so to say. And I was even lucky enough to visit many of Mila's partners in their supply chain in India. So this was very interesting for me because I was also working in the area of sustainable supply chains. And Purecotts, for example, our garment factory, that's very close to Mumbai. So yeah,
I've been there
a few times. Yeah, but also some of the fair trade cotton cooperatives,
You also bloggers. Came with us to our blogger journey with Daria Daria and Marie Naseman and Markus from Viertel Form magazine, where we made the whole journey from the cotton farmers to the spinning, to the ginning, and then to the confection of the textile.
Exactly. Yeah.
You traveled with us the whole way and looked into every step. You know Milaware really quite well, but maybe you can tell us now a little bit more what you're doing in the moment and in which area you're working for.
Mila. So after about 5 years in India, I decided that I wanted to reorientate myself back to Europe, and then just as I arrived, Corona hit. And I ended up doing a postgraduate course in the area of project management for Development Corporation at the Gesellschaft für nachhaltige Entwicklung, which is in Witzenhausen, close to Kassel. And that's what finally led me to work for Mila. Which is rather funny, really, because when you think of working in development corporation, maybe a fashion brand is not the first organization that comes to mind. But the work that Mila does really have quite a few overlaps with this field. And I remember one of the professors on my course who was quite critical of the development sector. He said, if we want to support a more sustainable development, then rather than just pumping money into projects that are often top down from a Western perspective or maybe even short-sighted, then we should really improve the way that we in countries like Germany do business with these so-called developing or emerging countries and economies. And that's really how Mila tries to make a difference. But apart from this, Milaware is also, in fact, involved with a few development projects that are funded by the BMZ. That's the German Ministry for Economic Cooperation and Development. For example, Mila is part of the pilot phase of the Grüner Knopf and the Fair Trade Textiles Standard, and also the project that I am now managing, that is a develop PPP project that Milaware is leading together with the GIZ, which is the Deutsche Gesellschaft für internationale Zusammenarbeit, and that's the main German development agency.
but maybe you can shortly explain us what is a PPP and for what does it stand?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the full name is developppp.de, but we always just say PPP for short. It stands for Public-Private Partnership. It is a program funded by the BMZ, and the idea behind the program is that it's difficult to achieve a sustainable development and to achieve the UN SDGs without the support of the private sector. So private sector and development agencies like the GIZ in our case, they come together, they join forces, and they want to find solutions to global challenges that we face. And in this program, the Develop PPP program, half of the project costs are covered by the company, in our case Miele obviously, and half is covered by the BMZ. And the projects have to offer long-term benefits for the local population in the developing and emerging markets. And not just simply profits for the company, of course.
No. And why are we doing a PPP in Sri Lanka?
Actually, a few things just came together why we ended up doing this. Basically, Miele was anyway producing the soles of our sneakers in Sri Lanka, and GIZ were also looking for partners to support the rubber sector for Sri Lanka in particular. Sri Lanka actually used to be the world's most significant rubber producing company, or one of the world's most significant, but now the sector is facing various challenges, in particular increased competition from Southeast Asian countries such as Thailand or Malaysia. So having said this, rubber is still an important sector for Sri Lanka. So 8% of the country's export earnings come from the rubber sector, and it also employs more than 300,000 people, so it's still an important livelihood.
How many?
More than 300,000.
Oh, that's quite a lot.
Yeah. So it's still an important livelihood. And even though Sri Lanka probably can't keep up with its competitors in terms of quantities, there is a hope that the premium organic rubber sector could be a niche market for Sri Lanka.
Cool, but maybe now you can tell us a little bit more about what is Miele doing in the PPP in Sri Lanka, and
Yes, of course. The aim and also the title of the project is to develop a supply chain for organic certified rubber for the textiles industry. And we're using the examples of the soles of our sneakers. We officially started the project in April 2020, last year, and the duration of the project is 3 years. So in the end, we aim to have a more transparent and sustainable supply chain for our organic and fair trade certified sneakers. And to get there, we're working on, you could say, three levels. So let's start with what we could call the lowest level in the supply chain, and that is the workers on the rubber farms. So not even the farm owners themselves. And in the case of rubber, this is a so-called tapper. That's the person who cuts the bark on the rubber trees to tap the harvest, to tap or harvest the liquid rubber. So I'm not going to go into detail on the rubber processing.
We also have a very interesting other podcast episode with our product manager, Ruth Fürsching, just about the process of rubber production. I think it's episode 70.
I think something. 20. Yeah, and she...
I will link that one in the show notes.
She did her master's thesis on this topic, so she's really the expert.
Yeah.
But going back to the tappers, so in the PPP project, we are helping tappers to set up their own organic home gardens. And I think this can actually be better explained by our partner on the ground, Chanika.
The organic home garden project is aimed at tappers. By tappers, I'm referring to the workers who are harvesting the latex from the rubber trees. The objective of this project are twofold. Primarily, we want to raise awareness among the tappers about the concept of organic farming. Secondly, by helping them to establish their own home gardens, we are helping them to help themselves economically and also to improve their well-being. So what we have done is to provide them several fruit, vegetable and spice plants and a composting bin so they can start their own organic gardens. We are also training them how to manage their gardens effectively through instructions and via a handbook. The idea is that the whole family, especially the children in the household, will also take an interest in the concept. The initial group received the program very enthusiastically. On the one hand, they are happy that both customers and the employer are concerned about their well-being, and we are translating that concern into something tangible for them. On the other hand, they also recognize the direct benefit that would accrue to them from the project. The idea that what we eat has an impact on our immunity levels has gained a lot of traction recently, mainly due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So these workers are now much more conscious about the sources and the quality of food that they consume. Also, during lockdowns, food distribution was severely disrupted, which prompted many people to consider home gardening. So the project stepped in at a very opportune moment. I think the tappers embraced the program much more readily due to COVID-19 factors. I am both hopeful and optimistic that this organic home gardening program will contribute significantly towards a long-term behavior change at village level, turning people towards organic cultivation, not only in terms of rubber plantations, but as a whole, which will ensure the sustainability well beyond this program.
So the next level, so to say, is that we are training farmers on organic rubber cultivation and increasing the number and the productivity of organic certified rubber plantations in the Sabarangmuwa region, which is in southwest Sri Lanka. The Sri Lankan names are really long. At the beginning of the project, which was in April 2020, there were 11 organic certified farmers in this region, and by the end our aim is to increase to this to at least 40, but we're already looking like we're going to significantly surpass this number, so we're really not having any trouble getting farmers on board. And in terms of productivity, we're implementing so-called rain guards, which are like plastic roofs that go around the trunk of the rubber trees just above where they cut it to tap the rubber. And this is especially important in the rainy season. And we're also considering some other productivity improvements, such as organic fertilizers or better equipment for the tappers, such as knives. So this part of the program we're still developing, really based upon the experts on the ground, our partners there. And finally, the third level, or the third aim of what we're doing there, is to certify the rubber processing units according to the Global Organic Latex Standard. And this standard has never been used before in this product category, so shoe soles. So first the standard has to be adapted, that's already taking place. And then trainings are being conducted in the factories to ensure that the high level of both environmental and social standards are met there.
Cool, that sounds quite interesting. What are your responsibilities on the project? What are you doing?
Well, my role is project manager, and basically I oversee everything that's happening, but my life is made pretty easy by our excellent partners in Sri Lanka. They are doing the implementation, which has meant that even in times of corona, when we can't travel to Sri Lanka, we're still making really good progress, even given the circumstances. I'm in touch with the partners on a regular basis. I'm responsible for the financial controlling of the project and also the communication and reporting with GIZ.
That sounds very interesting. What are actually our future goals for the project, and what do you think will make this PPP project with Mila successful?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think one of the main indicators of a successful PPP or any development project is when it's sustainable beyond the period of the fundings, which in our case is 3 years. So that means it should be sustainable for the local people or by the local people, for the planet, and in terms of profit or economically sustainable. Because once this funding stops, ideally, you know, we want the benefits to continue. And also having local ownership and a business case and being able to scale a project they're all important factors that can heavily influence the sustainability. So like with anything in life, if we take the responsibility for something, make it our own, experience the value, and if it can even support livelihoods of the farmers, of the tappers, of the people working in the factories, then we will make sure that it is sustained. In terms of the scalability, the organic certification and all the knowledge and the know-how that our local partners can gain can also be used for other customers of theirs. They already have other customers. And we at Mila, where we really want to also scale up our shoe collection in the future, and we're looking also at using the rubber in other products, such as the padding in our backpacks. And to do this, we really need a transparent and a sustainable supply chain with long-term partners who share our visions. So that's what we really hope will come out of this, and we're already seeing the fruits of the work there. And also our learnings will be shared with local organisations as well, like the Government Development Board, the Rubber Development Board, that's from the Sri Lankan government, so that really the benefits will go beyond us and our existing partners there.
Yeah, that sounds very reasonable, and it's a cool project. I definitely always want to know more about it, and it's so interesting when you give us updates from our project partners, what they are telling about the project, and also what Chanaka said earlier, that really after Corona, the people even appreciated more the concept of organic farming and the whole home garden project. I think that is what makes this project really cool and sustainable, and I'm happy that we are doing that. And yeah, thanks a lot, Larissa, that you gave us so many interesting insights and also gave us some personal backgrounds and insights to you. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. We are always happy if you follow our podcast Step Into the Future on our website or on Spotify or iTunes, and when you recommend it to your friends. Thanks a lot and goodbye.
Thank you.